Welcome to this Happy Home podcast. I'm Arlene Pellicane. You've probably heard of the Proverbs 31 woman, but what about the Proverbs 32 woman? Comedian and author Carrie Pomeroli unpacks who this woman is in a funny and honest conversation about measuring up, motherhood, and the modern woman.
Strengthening you and your family. Welcome to the Happy Home Podcast with your host, Arlene Pellicane.
Well, if you're anything like today's guest, Carrie Pomeroli, you've read Proverbs 31 before and wondered, who is this woman? I don't rise early, and I definitely don't plow. Well, get ready for a fun and faithful conversation about motherhood with Carrie Pomeroli as she shares from her book, Confessions of the Proverbs 32 Woman, How I Went from Messed Up to Blessed Up Without Changing a Single Thing. Carrie is a writer, comedian, speaker, and the ultimate Proverbs 32 woman. She tours nationwide with clean comedy at top Christian and secular venues with film and TV appearances. She's toured with Lisa Bevere, Laura Story, Newsboys, Ryan Stevenson, Joni Erickson Tada, and many more. She lives in Los Angeles with her two daughters. Let's get started. Carrie, I am so happy to be on the phone with you. This is so great. And I just want to know, who is this Proverbs 32 woman? Because I've heard of the Proverbs 31 woman, but I don't know that much about the Proverbs 32. Fill us in.
Well, you know that that started a long time ago with my stand-up comedy when I would always joke, I read Proverbs 31 woman I don't plow and I don't rise early. So I said, God, I don't know if I'm a Proverbs 31 woman because the Bible said she gathers her food from afar and that's takeout to me.
Yeah.
So years ago, I started this joke. I'm the Proverbs 32 woman. She rises late and her kids make her breakfast or... You know, I will submit to not going to work. And it was a joke, but women all over the world started going, this is real. This is me. And I always go like, if you're that woman who does not have matching Tupperware, your kids don't wear matching socks, your kids ate an entire bottle of Flintstones vitamin, but you can't call poison control because they know you. Like, that's the Proverbs 32 woman. Or you're single out there and you're eating Nutella and chocolate in the shower with all your clothes on. Like, it's every woman who doesn't make farm to table crock pot meals on Pinterest. Like the rest of us that are yes. not adorable.
I love that. Okay, count me in. I am that woman. Yeah. So I love this because we're laughing at these things because we are all these things. Because yeah. we know we've looked at something and we've said, I can't make that, or I don't look like that, or I don't dress like that, or my kids don't act like that. So, you know, how do you fight, you know, those? That's the humor of it. But underneath there, sometimes there are those feelings like, man, I am not ready for this motherhood thing. Like my game is not on. Yeah.
I think we need to guard our eyes. I think that you need to take healthy, regular breaks from the media and social media because it is, first of all, when you just have a baby and you're in the first stages of motherhood, you're insane. Okay. We both agree the brain yes. cells are being sucked out of you one way or the other, right? You're not on your game at all. And give yourself that fourth trimester. I always joke, like, there's the fourth trimester when, like, you can still look homeless and it's okay.
Right.
But stop watching celebrities and they're back to baby body. You know what I mean? First of all, that's airbrushing. I live in Hollywood. Let me tell you for a fact, it's airbrushing. Yeah. So I think give yourself a break. I don't care what quarter life year you are in motherhood. Give yourself a break. And people always ask me, like, you know, do you have any advice for parents? I'm like, my kids and I use laughter as such a tool in my house. I have a 12-year-old who thinks she knows everything. Like, I want to call NASA and harvest her brain because she's so, you know, incredible. I'm like, you can solve this crisis, obviously, because you're 12.
Yes.
And she'll just get moody, you know, and I'll just start tickling her. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, you're going to laugh or I kill you. Like, what's happening? So I feel like parents sometimes forget that our kids want to laugh with us.
Yeah. I want to stop there just a moment because a lot of us would look at our 12-year-old and they're moody and we're like, oh, okay, like bear spray, stay away, like get away from that child. But you did the opposite. Like, you get in there. So talk to us just a little bit more about that. Like, don't be afraid of your moody teenager.
My 12-year-old is 12 going on 40, but she came out of the womb that way. Like, she wants to be a Supreme Court justice because she said she could never get fired. But, I like to joke around with her and look, people listening, her dad's a comedian. I'm a comedian. It's not her fault. But I think that if we let our kids go too far away, I don't know how easy it is to get back. Mm-hmm. So I talked to her so bluntly and so openly. I'm like, Lucy, let me tell you the truth. Most of your friends are going to be doing jacked up stuff. I can tell you who those friends are. And so now at 12 years old, when she's having these intense conversations, I mean, let's be real, intense conversations with kids that go to church even, but you know, all diverse children.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, my friend said she's, you know, a lesbian. It's just 12, right?
Right.
I've already laid the groundwork that she can come to me and talk openly about that. And I've warned her, like when she was 6 years old, I'd be like seven, maybe eight. What are you going to do if your friends offer you a beer? She's like, I call them a bunch of alcoholics and walk away. I'm like, yes. Like, let's start practicing. I can't believe the intensity of what these children are exposed to.
Yeah.
So if we don't get in there and get in the trenches and allow them a safe place, she asks me questions all the time. She's like, so what if my Muslim friends wants me to come to her party for her family? Can I go? And then we have a frank, open discussion
about
why she could go to that party. But what would Jesus want her to do at the party? So believe me, I'm not perfect. I mean, believe me, but I just feel like today's generation of parenting, we have to fight in the trenches with these kids. We can't do, I mean, I love my mom and I don't know if she'll listen, but I was very much raised with the don't ask, don't tell. Like seriously, Arlene, seriously. It was like, I think my mom's a virgin and she's 77. So I don't know. Do you parent that way? Like, cause I know you're a little ahead of the game.
Yeah, I do like to do that. And we are not afraid to talk about things. So if something comes up, but I will say, hearing you say this, like, that's what it spurs us on, spurs, a sense of funny word. It makes us think like, I gotta do that proactively.
And also, you have more than one kid. It goes to their personalities because, you know, one of my kids, my oldest, is a talker. Like, she's a sharer.
Yeah.
So if I ask the questions, so this year we did something nutty. We trained for the LA Marathon together. And if you know me, you know that like that's an act of God because I would never exert myself physically.
Yeah. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah. She signed up because she wanted to raise money for World Vision in Africa.
Oh my goodness. That'll do it.
We did the walks. Not the running. So we would go on these walks and she'd be like, tell me about your teenage years. What's the stupidest thing you ever did? And like, tell me about your mistakes with boys and tell me about this. And so, you know, my career is peculiar because I've written books about my dating life and I'm like, you can't read it. You can't read my book about my dating life. And she's like, that's okay. Maya brought it to school, you know, but I just think that if you don't have a talker kid, you have to make activities that will force you guys into it. Mm-hmm. Like we're walking and there's no technology.
Right.
So we have to talk.
Yeah.
One way or the other. So I'm assuming, I mean, believe me, I'm not the mom that's doing crafts. I took a puzzle out. We threw it in the garbage. Like literally, I'm not joking.
Like this is not us.
In the garbage, we missed some pieces and I'm like, everybody's angry. And I'm like, oh, it's going in the garbage. I don't care what it costs. Like I'm never going to be the Pinterest, you know, mom. But I guess everybody has their own style.
Totally.
I'm learning.
Yeah, you know? And that's so good because someone's listening like, oh, that would be so hard for me to have that conversation, where for you, that's something really natural. But they're able, you know, they're like beating right now. So, you know,
you
so it's just
it
people
humor.
Do different things. Yeah.
You can do it with humor and be sarcastic about it. And I always tell her, I'm like, listen, like if you go on the wrong websites, I'll kill you in cold blood. I mean, I just tell her like, you might be sleeping, but you'll die. And like we joke, yes. But the other day, like she has a Kindle. She doesn't have a phone, but she has a Kindle. And I'm like, let me see your search history. And we have a joke in my family, but it's a rule. She can listen to 80s music. Mm-hmm. She can't. I kind of get a little bit more nervous with the modern songs.
Yeah.
And then, so she's like listening and I go, what the heck title is that? She goes, that's AC/DC, mom. You said that's AC/DC. I'm like, oh, dang it. So, I feel like being blunt is what this generation calls for. Yeah. I wish I had more of it growing up.
Yeah, that's
more
a good call. So how do you find the energy to be blunt, you know, and to parent hands-on when you're working, you're juggling different things? You just talk a little bit about that balance that you've kind of discovered between work and mom life.
Yeah, and I'm a single mom. So for all the single parents out there, I do have a lot of help from their dad. So I, you know, he's like a sitcom character in my house who's there all the time. So I'm single in title. Yeah. But delegate. I am not afraid to delegate. And I used to be embarrassed about that and be like, oh, I have a cleaning lady once a month. I am not rich. But listen, there's this woman. Her name is Elodia. I cannot live without her. Yes. Like, seriously. She was like, when the coronavirus came and she's like, oh, I can't get the bus. I was like, I will drive. Where do I need to come get you?
You but must once, come to my
it's
house.
Like, it's once a month. It's worth every penny.
Yeah.
And I don't feel guilty. I think women out there are listening. They're like, oh, I could never get a cleaning lady. I could never get a manicure. I'm like, first of all, that's not true. Like, these are not, I'm not telling you to go to the spa and spend $100. But if $25 gets you a mani and pedi and you can breathe for an hour and you get quiet time and you do that every couple months or whatever that is to you, right. Because I know money's tight. Or like going for coffee with a friend. I feel like we just need to give ourselves a break. That's what my whole ministry and every time I write a book or anything, it's all about giving yourselves a break because we're so hard on ourselves every single day about how we aren't measuring up. And the only way to do that is to counteract it, is to do something on the opposite end of the spectrum that would be like, maybe it feels extravagant to go get a massage, you know, but your back's been killing you for 3 months and you're in pain. Go, you know what I mean? Like, these are just things that you need to allow yourself to be a better parent.
This reminds me of the story you tell of the 22 minutes that you spent with your daughter, Lucy. It's kind of allowing yourself, right, to have just like not to be in a hurry. So tell us that story.
Well, you know, I was leaving as you travel and I travel. I had a flight that was, I had to leave at 5:30 in the morning, and around 5 a.m. or so, Lucy was young at the time and she crawled into bed with me and she's like, cuddle. And I'm just like, my heart's breaking. I hate leaving my kids. Even for 24 hours, I hate leaving my kids. And, my heart just broke and I grabbed her and I kept looking at my alarm because I had to leave at 5:30. I had to leave. So I had 22 minutes to hold her. And I'm just like emotional and tired and overworked and, you know, all this stuff. And God just said to me, you know, the way you feel about your daughter in this moment is the way I feel about you every single day. And if you would give me 22 minutes, what a life change. What a life change that could be. And I offer people this experiment that are listening. For the next 24 hours of your life, and if you're really bold, do it for 48. Gauge with a notebook or whatever you want to do, how much time, don't censor it, you're spending on meaningless activities like recipes on Pinterest, we all do it, Facebook's, Instagram, TV, and how much time you're spending in the Word. Like, don't change it because you're writing it down.
Yeah.
But take the pie chart and take a hard look at that, myself included. I have life hacks. Like, for me, it's audio Bible. Mm-hmm. I can't spend 22 minutes. Maybe I have ADD. I don't know. But like reading my, as the older I get, the harder my eyesight is. Like,
but like the words are getting smaller.
Right. I'm like, well, who writes these Tylenol labels? But the audio Bible, there's this guy, he's got a British accent. He reads it to me. And it's kind of like a life hack. Like, you can, you have no excuse not to be in the Word. You can drive down the street and you could choose to listen to the news about the terrible things that are going on in the world, or you could choose to listen to the Word of God for 20 minutes.
Yeah. You talked earlier about being a single mom. For that single mom who's listening, give her kind of what you have learned along the way about how to like manage, how to co-parent, you know, just things that you'd want to share with that mom who is just like, I'm so frustrated by this.
Well, I have a really peculiar co-parenting situation because I get along swimmingly with my ex-husband. He is a comedian, which I feel there was a commandment to comedians shall not marry. I feel that we missed that. But I feel that having the hope that you can have a very fulfilled life and great kids and fulfilled kids being a single mom. I remember 5 years ago just being at the depths of despair, not wanting to be a single mom, not my choice in any way, and being a sole provider single mom at that, and saying, I'm going to fight to the death to get this child support. I'm going to try to squeeze orange juice out of a lemon. You know what I mean? So I'm just like trying to get this child support. And my pastor's like, let it go. I'm like, what? She's like, just forgive and let it go. If he can't do it, he can't do it. I'm like, no, he owes me. It's not fair. I'm going to die if I don't get this check. Like, and here I am, Arlene, 5 years later, My ex-husband is doing all the homeschooling with my kids, and I just bought a house in Los Angeles, and God has like married this mixed up crazy life because I let it go. Like I never did get that child support. I'm going to be honest with you. I never tell, you know, the world says this is supposed to be, and this is what you're, how you're going to survive. But has God taken care of me better than any man? Yes. I truly believe that I can have a fulfilled life being an unmarried woman just as much as I can have a fulfilled life being a married woman. And I feel like it's about me and God. And it's like this huge weight off my shoulders to have to feel like I'm not going to be less than, I'm not going to be looked upon by God as less than because I, you know, messed up a marriage or, you know, sometimes just church, unfortunately, is like, oh, well, you don't qualify because you have gone through a divorce or whatever life circumstances. And just if you're listening out there, single moms, like, I promise God has got you. I have come from not having two nickels to rub together to where my friends are literally putting diapers on my table. To being a homeowner in Los Angeles. That is a miraculous act of an all-knowing, almighty God. We have to dig deep and be like, Lord, I'm going to lean on you. I don't understand it. I don't have a plan, but I'm going to lean on you today in this moment. And you got to get me through or else I'm going to hurt these kids in cold blood. You don't like, you gotta get me through this, Lord. And sometimes it's Netflix. And I keep, oh, by the way, I do keep chocolate in my bedroom. I do. I feel that every mom has to know where the chocolate is.
I keep it in my laundry room.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I think we need weapons. So chocolate for me is a weapon.
How do you deal with life's curveballs? Like, this is not what you expected. You know, as we are talking now, we are both at this, you know, we're both staying home because of the coronavirus mandate. So how can we adjust when there are curveballs?
Dealt with a lot of health curveballs in our journey. And I think to lay it down to the most core thing is the one prayer that I pray in everything. I mean, even when it's been the worst, where my daughter was in the NICU struggling to survive and incurable circumstances. And you can get down on your face and do the ugly cry, and that's great. And you can run away from home like I did, and then I ran down the block, and then I ran home. But you can do all those things. But at the core of it is God's like, do you trust me? Yeah. Like, do you trust me that I'm still God? That I understand that there's a worldwide pandemic going on, and I understand that Christians are getting sick, and I understand that you've got circumstances in your life that are not fun, and they're painful, and they're scary. And I've dealt myself with a lot of health challenges. And even recently this year, I had another bout with kidney stones, which is like incredibly crazy, horrible pain. And yes. I'm going, I got to get on an airplane and I don't know what I'm doing. And God was like, he felt sometimes far away, but in those times, the only thing I could pray was, God, I trust you, but I'm hurting and I need you. And that's like, whether you've got an addiction or a prodigal kid or a prodigal spouse, I'm hurting and I trust you.
But I just want you to share a little bit about Ruby. So for those who are listening and they're struggling with their kids, and because it's one thing, I think, when we suffer, but when you see your child suffer, it's like, oh, so awful. So I'd love for you to share about that a little bit.
Yeah. And I hope people can see the finished product of my 9-year-old. So my 9-year-old is named Ruby Joy, and she was born with everything you can imagine, and the word capital I, incurable, and special needs and mentally disabled. Like, that's what they told me, all these things. I'm going to give you a 30-second rundown. And just horrible, just like horrible. I mean, this is what her life's going to look like. She'll never go to school like the other kids. She's going to be on oxygen. She's not going to walk like the other kids. And it was a crawl. It wasn't even a walk. I mean, it's been a 9-year crawl with Jesus. And it was like, is this from God? Did God create my daughter this way? Because that's what some people are saying. And I'm like, that's not in the Bible. There's not like a kid with leprosy. And Jesus is like, well, the Lord made him with leprosy. Like, we're going to leave him that way. So I really dug deep into the healing scriptures. And I prayed a lot of times for healing, and it did not go my way. So, you know, it's always a battle. My mom was struggling with her third bout of cancer at the time that my daughter was born. And it was a terrible time. Like, it was just, but I was a pit bull, you know, and I'm like, I'm not giving up on this. And God sort of said to me, if you believe, I'm going to meet you. Like, I'm going to meet you more than halfway. And I started to believe, and my friends believed, and I got a lot of, even people like feeling sorry for me and being like, oh, that's not going to work out the way you want this big miracle to work out. And it didn't, because I wanted the miracle to be immediate and I wanted her to fly out of the hospital. But little by little, God has healed my daughter. She's nine. She's not on oxygen. She's not on leg braces. She's doing gymnastics and hip hop dancing. She's in regular school. Her math.
This is amazing. I mean, so yeah, crazy amazing.
Roman numerals. She had a chromosome disorder, which they said there was no cure for. And we just bit by bit have walked it, crawled it, run some days. I've started an international ministry with other parents that children were born with autism, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, like you name it, all the things the world says are just, you know, just forget about it. And we have a ministry that we pray, and we pray for kids all over the world. So what the devil meant for harm, God has used for just so many people seeing, and I'm still in it. You know, we're still walking it out. I'm believing for a total freedom. But the fact that that kid is doing a math test on Roman numerals today, it boggles my mind.
Yeah.
You know, and I joked about it on stage many times when I'm like, she's getting a C in math, God. You know, last year she was on the honor roll. Now my testimony sucks. And God's like, Carrie, you got a C in math. Like, what do you want? You know, she's a normal kid. You prayed for her to be normal. And so for all those moms out there, you're like, okay, that just seems insurmountable. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's ever a time that we can't pray for kids. I have heard stories of kids overcoming birth defects and illnesses at every single life stage. Even some, one of them was, you know, 16 at the time, or I don't care if you have a 40-year-old, there's never a time that you can't appeal to God. And no, God did not do it in one day, but he keeps reminding me, Carrie, is she happy? Yes. Is she keeping up? Yes. To the best of her ability? Yes. He's like, so I'm still on the throne.
Yeah.
Just don't quit.
Yeah.
Just don't quit.
Amen. Yeah. So you might be the Proverbs 32 woman who rises late and your children serve breakfast, but you're also the Proverbs 32 woman that prays for their children, that sees their healing, that like is like a pit bull who will not let go, who talks to their children, who is blunt with their children, who makes her children laugh. Like, I think that's a pretty good description. And I think you are a most beautiful mother.
Oh, I wish my kids could hear you, because they're like, yeah, we're not a big fan.
Yeah. Wasn't Carrie so much fun? She says things in such funny ways. I guess that's why she's a comedian. Haha. And she has so much faith. Well, if you want to learn more and laugh more, I encourage you to check out Carrie's book, Confessions of a Proverbs 32 Woman, How I Went from Messed Up to Blessed Up Without Changing a Single Thing. She also has a companion devotional book, and it's called She Rises Late and Her Kids Make Her Breakfast, Devotions for the Proverbs 32 Woman. How is that for a title? I think my kids could relate to that. Well, before I go, I want to let you know, I know some of you moms could use some direction and encouragement just about now. You're just thinking like, okay, I have these great ideas, but every day I wake up and they don't seem to work. Okay, well, I have been doing daily video teachings through my book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. You can find these videos because I know we could all use a little bit more happy in our lives. And you can look for me, Arlene Pelicane, on social, on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and also on my website, arlenepelicane.com. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to write a quick review and tell a friend about it. Remember to enjoy less tech and more life. And until next time, remember, you too can have a happy home.